around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great and wonderful joy to be with you today and to share with you from the Word of Almighty God. What an exciting time to be alive, to witness, to behold the things that God is doing here in this end time hour. So many people are not understanding Bible prophecy in the context as to what God is doing. But I'm here to tell you today, God is doing great things. And because He is doing great things, we should be grateful, we should be thankful, we should be mindful that our help, our strength, comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist declared in Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help, your help, our help, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He shall preserve you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve your going out and your coming in forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? That is the epitome of the shepherd of our souls. Well, for the last several weeks, we've been in a great mode and disposition, seeking the will, the direction of God for our life, for the ministry, for other platforms and venues. Starting next week, Stephen and Jasmine and their little daughter, Lily Wood, are going to be uniting with the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. As most of you know, Linton was working for me, my youngest son. He has a desire to turn wrenches and make a living that way. And you cannot coerce your children into working for you. But he said, Dad, I want to turn wrenches for a living. And so that's what he does. And we've been praying over the last 6 months to a year that God would direct someone to us. And we felt led of the Lord to hire Stephen and his wife Jasmine Wood, that they would come and work with us. So we covet your prayers. We ask you to pray for us and for them. And we're believing God to use Stephen and Jasmine to help and bring the ministry to another level. You know, you've heard me say it many times. We're not here to build ourselves a kingdom or anything of that nature. We just want to win souls for Jesus, the Lord Christ. There's no other reason why we do what we do. We do it because we love the people of God and we love the sinner. And for the size of this ministry, I guarantee you, we win more souls to Jesus Christ than most mega ministries. You know why? Number one, we preach repentance. We preach you must repent if you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. We preach unmitigated truth. We are desirous to never compromise God's word in any capacity, any shape, any form, not to vary in any capacity, though there are those who are varying tremendously here in this hour. And we preach against sin. That's why we get the results that we get, because we preach repentance and we preach against sin. Most ministries do not preach those two subjects. You should be elated. You should be happy that the voice of evangelism is constantly preaching repentance and preaching against sin. It will not be your knowledge or lack of knowledge, education, lack of education, that hinders you from entering into the kingdom of God. It's going to be whether you have repented of your sins and you're walking in the light of His Word. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You must walk in the light as Christ is not only the light, He's in that light that emanates from within Him. But if we're going to be saved, we must walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I want to quote that verse again, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood is what atones for sin. Nothing else, nothing can atone for sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. If anything else atones for sin, why then was Jesus' blood shed? If anything could atone for sin other than the blood of Jesus Christ, why was His blood shed? You got to remember that. We have been speaking now for quite some time out of Isaiah chapter 1. We're speaking on sin and judgment. Sin and judgment. We want to pick up today, this June the 25th, Monday. I probably failed to recognize last Sunday, Father's Day, but I want to bless every father today. And I want to encourage every father to be a godly one. You be a godly father. You walk the walk, you talk the talk. You be a godly man to your wife, to your children, but more than anything else, you be a godly man to yourself. You be loyal to yourself. And don't give place or room for the devil. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. The prophet of God is declaring emphatically that Jerusalem was once a faithful city, but now she's become a harlot. Now she's become a whore. Jeremiah 3 verse 3 says, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. and thou hast a whore's forehead and refusest to be ashamed. What a tragic state of affairs. Therefore the showers have been withholden. There hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. The very thing that a prostitute should be ashamed of, she glories in. And there are male prostitutes, don't let me think that they're not. The point is, God does not bless. That's why he withholds the showers of blessing. That's why the prophet Jeremiah said, there hath been no latter rain. And you've had a whore's forehead, and you refuse to be ashamed. Regretfully, Jerusalem, in this present era, Jerusalem will repeat her wicked deeds again to the degree that in the end times, God described Jerusalem as Egypt and Sodom and Gomorrah. What a statement. What a statement that God makes against the city wherein his name has been inscribed. Revelation 11 and verse 8 says, and their dead bodies, the two witnesses, shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. These two witnesses will be slain. Murderers will slay them. This is what Isaiah is prophesying here, not directly to Revelation 11 and verse 8, but he's saying the day, the hour will come when righteousness is no longer being preached and taught and executed in the land, but rather murderers. Think of what I'm saying. Murderers. This nation has become very vile, become very wicked. We're witnessing the hierarchical structure in the FBI and the Department of Justice, where there is no righteousness. I remember some weeks ago in prayer, and the Spirit of God prompted my heart and said, you have a department in Washington called the Department of Justice. There's a whole executive branch of government. It's called the Department of Justice. In other words, you're supposed to get righteousness. Now, here's what you need to understand today. God is blessing this nation, and we don't deserve it. God has touched the heart, the life of Donald Trump. Why does there seem to be a turnaround, you may ask? Because Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Now, ever since Donald Trump has been in office, he's trying to do righteous deeds. He's trying to do righteous things. He's trying to turn the course of this great nation, which is like an aircraft carrier in the Pacific or in the Atlantic, and you can't turn it on a dime. It takes time and a vast room of space to turn an aircraft carrier carrying 5,000-6,000 people on the aircraft carrier with scores of jet aircraft and helicopters and a hospital and the sanitation and the cafeteria. There's so much. So you can't just turn it with a whim or a caprice. It takes time. But as Donald Trump has opposed abortion, trying to take this nation in the proper, the right, the correct direction, God said in his word, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. When righteousness prevails, people rejoice. When the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. The people are going to mourn. There's a lot of mourning in this nation. A lot of mourning. Righteousness is the thing that God uses to lift up a nation. God wants to lift up a nation. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." In spite of the adversity, God will comfort his people. God will comfort his people. This is why you and I cannot vary or vacillate concerning our convictions. You can't do it. We must be steadfast in our disposition when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be. You must be faithful. And in spite of the adversity, in spite of the adversity, we must remain steadfast. We must remain steadfast. Now, when the wicked are in authority, that's when people mourn. Let me quote the whole verse. Proverbs 29, verse 2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." When righteousness has increased, the people rejoice. When wickedness increases, the people mourn. Remember that. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We have a problem in this nation. It's full of murderers. We're full of murderers. We have become spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. And now that spirit has pervaded the purported church. James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I read last week where Kim Jong-un is more popular than Nancy Pelosi. More popular than Nancy Pelosi. What an indictment against a pea brain minority speaker, minority controlling Democrat in the United States Congress. Kim Jong-un is more popular than Nancy Pelosi. What does that say about this nation? And yet she will be reelected again. But look at her district, San Francisco. You see, as modern Christianity continues to break covenant, just like Israel did, Jehovah remains faithful. You know, none of us can ever understand the fullness of the agape love of God. None of us will ever be able to fathom, to grasp, to understand the love of God, because you can fail God. You can backslide. You can do ungodly things. But if you come back and repent, God's love does not change. He will embrace you. He will accept you. Now you think about what I just said. You go out, you get drunk. You go out, you steal. You lie. You commit adultery. Yes, you will do irreparable damage to your physical marriage. But you come back and you repent, God will love you and God will reconcile the matter. Now, God may not take care of your problem, You created a circumstance of divorce or whatever the case might be. You bring in a situation into your life that is so detrimental, that is so damaging. It's beyond repair in the natural. Doesn't negate the love of God. Does not say that God does not love you, that God does not care about you. God brings you back. You see, just like a sinner. Let me rephrase that. Let's say you're a Christian. You've been serving God for 20 years, and all of a sudden your life becomes distressed, and great and grave perplexing situations begin to inundate your life, and you become angry, you become bitter, and so you go out and you get drunk. You go down the road, you have a horrendous automobile accident, and because of the accident, they have to amputate your leg. Does God forgive you when you wake up? And you say, oh, God, I'm sorry, I repent. Please forgive me of my sins. God will forgive you of your sins, but he's not going to put a new leg on your torso. Not going to do it. That's the wages of sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin are ugly. Sin does not pay well. You don't have a chance of getting ahead under the wages of sin. You will always stay behind the eight ball because sin does not pay well. All sin does is destroy your life, eviscerate your life, and take away from your life. Sin is ugly. Very ugly. Sin pays you back with detriment, with loss, with destruction, with chaos, with calamity. This is what sin pays you. Would you go ask for a job and say, here's what I'm expecting from you as an employer? Detriment, loss, chaos, destruction, crisis, dilemma. Is that what you'd say you want in return? Working for an employer? No. I want this. I want this amount of money. I want health insurance. I want so many paid days of vacation a year. I want so much personal time off, PTO. You go through a litany of things. Listen, when you put beside your life the wages of sin and the gift of God, which is eternal life, there's no comparison. See, Satan wants you to believe there's something to be had, there's something to make you better, but that's not true. Sin does not improve your life. Sin destroys your life. Oh, you say, well, I got the most beautiful girl in the world. She's so beautiful. She's so foxy. She's so this. She's so that. Then you marry her. Then you end up with chlamydia, herpes, gonorrhea, syphilis. You end up with that. And then the devil stands off to the side. He laughs. He mocks. He ridicules you profusely. Why? He got you. He lured you. He lured you into a snare. He lured you into a trap. The devil is always setting traps for the redeemed. That's why he's called the snare and the fowler. Satan is a snare to your life. He fouls every aspect of your life. How is the faithful city, Jerusalem, become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged. In it. But now, murderers. I look at this nation right now, and if God ever gave me a revelation, it's when I did the video 6 months or plus ago about the garbage truck, the Republican train that hit the garbage truck on the tracks. And then all the garbage was strewn all over the place. And that one helicopter shot showed the garbage company's name, Time Disposal. I'll never forget it. This year, on the 17th day of my fast, when I awakened out of my sleep, I turned the television on to see the news. There it was, Time Disposal. And God gave me a revelation in a matter of a minute. The garbage truck represented the corrupt institutions, the garbage that was strewn all over the place was the things that the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, all of these evil, vile things they had done, that's what they thought they had buried and was going to be taken to the landfill and buried and never seen or heard of again. Time Disposal. In God's time, not only will He expose some things, He's going to dispose some things. God is going to give Donald Trump the things that He called in Isaiah 45:3, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. God said to Cyrus, I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places where they think they have buried something and no one will ever find it. Why? Because it was buried in a secret place somewhere where they think it'll never be found. Let me say this. I said it some weeks ago, get ready for inflation. You know, sometimes we misunderstand God's blessing. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Jesus said it rains on the just and the unjust. Sinful, wicked, vile people are prospering under this economy. The righteous are being blessed. I'm talking to businessmen that are telling me they're doing the best they've done in a long time. And in the process, much of the unrighteous people in America will also be touched by the blessing of God. Not because they're doing right. It's because righteousness exalts a nation. You got to understand that. Simply, you've heard me say this. I was asked once, what does the word righteousness mean? And I always say, look at the first five letters, R-I-G-H-T. Just do the right thing, period. Just do the right thing. That's all you have to do. Do the right thing. Is it right to lie? No. Is it right to steal? No. Is it right to cheat? No. Is it right to get drunk? No. Is it right to embezzle? No. Is it right to commit a fornication? No. Is it right to commit adultery? No. Is it right to be a sodomite? No. None of these things are right. None of them. Therefore, we should not do them. And when this element of sin begins to wane and abate and lessen, what's going to happen on the other side of the scales is righteousness is going to begin to pile up. And I don't want to be around personally when God begins to judge the wicked. That's coming. You see, how has the faithful city become a whore? How did this happen? It once was full of judgment. Righteousness once lodged in its offices. But now, murderers. If you don't believe Isaiah 5:20 is being fulfilled right now, you don't understand anything spiritual. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that are called that called evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. This is what's been happening in America. They've taken away the righteousness from the righteous. They take it away. When you get godly, you become righteous. When you get God in your life, you have to do the right thing. You have to say the right thing. You may not like it. Your flesh will never like doing the right thing. Your flesh will always bow up. Your flesh will always be contentious. Your flesh will always be prideful. Your flesh will always, always oppose what is righteous and godly. This is the why it is so imperative to walk in the Holy Ghost. He said, how? How has this faithful city become a whore? Well, things begin to happen. Let's look at it in the natural. I watched a documentary the other night. This was in the early 90s when a guy was in Dallas, Texas, murdering prostitutes and then surgically cutting out their eyes. One of the ladies, they showed a picture of her. She was once a naval officer. Beautiful woman. They showed the picture in her Navy attire. But they didn't delve into everything. But you can see between the lines that something went awry, something went wrong. She got addicted to drugs. She couldn't afford to buy the drugs, so she turned to prostitution to solicit money. And the commentator said they were better known as flatbacks. $25 a trick would turn 10 to 20 tricks a night. 10 to 20 a night. Here's a lady that goes from being a naval officer to a prostitute. 10 tricks, $25 a hit, $250. 20 times in a night, $500. Where does it go? Heroin, crack, cocaine. How is the faithful city become a harlot? How could someone in the Navy, dressed to the hilt, hair so well groomed and Navy attire, and then found lying in a gutter in a street with her eyes eviscerated, cut out of her head? Jehovah is asking the question, how is the faithful city become a harlot? It's very simple. You leave God out of the equation. That's all you have to do. Leave God out of the equation. When you leave God out of anything, you've already begun with a deficit. You've heard me quote this passage, Psalms 10, for the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. When you don't incorporate God in your thoughts, you're already going down the wrong path. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's how a faithful city, that's how a Christian backslides. And don't tell me, listen, my Baptist brethren, Why is the word backslide in the Bible? You once knew God, but you backslid. Solomon said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You do it your way, you're going to backslide. You're going to backslide. You're going to miss out with God. You're going to miss out with God. And that is such a great, 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 great tragedy. That's why God put the term backslider. You can walk away from God. You can walk away from God if you so choose. People will tell me, oh, they were never saved. Oh, so you're the judge of somebody's salvation. No, you say that to justify you're living in sin, and that once you're saved, you're always saved, and you can't backslide and die and go to hell. Yeah. It is a travesty when people backslide. I know people, and I hate to know what I know, that have backslid on God, then went out into eternity lost. How do you think I feel knowing if they do what they do, and they certainly lose out with God, what was their destiny? Where did they go? You see, when you're filled with your own ways, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but in thereof are the ways of death. What you're doing is a way of death. See? Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. If it's not God's way, it's an evil way. How has the faithful city become a whore? She was once full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in her city and in her four walls. But now, she's a city of murderers. How is the faithful city become a whore? It's all a process, folks. You leave God out. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. Sin cannot live and abide where there is the presence of God. It just can't abide. That's why in Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do this both ways. You can't be on today, off tomorrow, on today, off tomorrow, on today, off tomorrow. You can't live like that. Yet we witness people trying to do that every day. My heart is saddened as I witness. As Solomon said there, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You're trying to do this your way, and that's why it's nothing but a rotten, stinking mess. Listen, when I got saved, when I came back to God, I too was a backslider. I had so much wreckage, so much garbage, so much trash, so much refuse in my life, it was unbelievable. The only blessing that I had was the fact God kept me from ever getting married and having children while I was a sinner. Somehow, by the grace of God, He protected me. By the time I got married, most of my friends had already been married once and divorced, and now on their second marriage. You've heard me tell the story. My parents divorced. My dad's parents divorced. All of my siblings have been divorced. Don't you understand? Sin ravages. Sin decimates, sin eviscerates. People don't like to talk about sin. These worthless, panty-laced preachers. That's all they are. That's all they are. They got lace on their drawers. They're hypocrites. They're two-timers. They don't love you. They just want your money. They don't love your soul. They just want your pocketbook. They want you to help them to live a greedy, filthy lifestyle on your dollar, on your dime. But if they really cared about your soul, they would tell you, get out of sin. Turn from sin. Depart from wickedness. Live a godly, live a righteous life. But they won't do that anymore today. All they want to do is bless, 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 bless your destiny, your fortune, your wealth, your prosperity. Listen, if you gained the whole world, Jesus said, and you lost your own soul, what good has it done you? What good has it done you? I don't care if your $100 bills are falling out of your shoes. Out of your front pockets, out of your back pockets, out of your shirt pocket. I don't care if $1,000 bills are falling out of your pockets. If you don't repent and get right with God, you will end up in a devil's hell. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not prepare hell for men. But you follow the devil. You make the devil your God. And you serve the devil, and you worship the devil, and you do all of these things. This is your destiny. You say, preacher, that's hard preaching. I'm trying to awaken you. How has the faithful city become a whore? It was once full of judgment. It was once full of righteousness. But now it's nothing but full of murderers. 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 How many feel comfortable sitting in a cafeteria full of murderers? How many would feel comfortable sitting in a doctor's waiting room full of murderers? Every one of them in there has murdered somebody. And they got guns strapped to their sides. They got big old knives to flay, to skin a deer with on their pants. Or they got a AR-15 hung around their neck. You walk in there and that's all you see. How comfortable would you feel? No, you wouldn't feel comfortable whatsoever. If you knew that, you wouldn't even go in there. That's what's happened to America. Full of murderers. Full of them. You know, I've come to conclude, and I did a newsletter on this, I don't know, within the last year, I believe. It could be longer, probably is, about the left hand and the right hand. If you're on the left, you're liberal. You're like Robert De Niro. You're on the left, you curse, you swear, you blaspheme. You're liberal in your politics. You don't want borders in this nation. You don't want any kind of structure, any kind of government. You don't want any rules. You don't want any regulations. If you're on the right, you're deemed conservative, hateful, bigoted, self-righteous. And there's no need to have what the left says we should not have. If you're on the right, you're considered conservative. Well, God in his word is going to put the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right hand. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God ever referring to the left hand of God. It's always the right hand. Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God in Acts chapter 7. Psalms 16:8, David said, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You see, the right hand of God typifies righteousness. Are you on the right hand or the left hand? Which side are you on? Well, I'm afraid to take a side, Pastor, because, you know, I don't want to offend nobody. When you preach the truth, you will offend people. Thank God after the offense, you can get on your knees and repent and get right with God and be a blood-bought, born-again child of God. How has the faithful city become a whore? How? Because we have not done the right things. We have also went as far as to prostitute our relationship with God. You know, we got sipping saints in the church today. A year or so ago, Sister Rita Bronson wrote me a letter about the female Presbyterian pastor who put a half a gallon of Scotch liquor in the vestibule and offered everybody a drink of Scottish whiskey before they went into the sanctuary. What kind of pastor is that? I thought we should be in the altar praying, crying out to God instead of drinking liquor. Some of you say, well, it was just one shot. Look what one shot has done to people's lives when they became alcoholics and they can't get free from the addiction of alcohol. Satan doesn't care how he gets you addicted. His objective is just to get you addicted to something so you serve the bondage, you serve the addiction. When you have an addiction, you serve it. You work to have money to buy that addiction. Keep that addiction up, to serve that addiction. You serve it. It's taken control of your life. You serve it. You serve it. You don't like me saying that. I sense in my spirit some don't like me saying that you are serving that addiction. But you are serving that addiction, my friend, whether you like it or not. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. Sin caused that naval officer, that beautiful lady, to become a harlot. She knew what was right. But somewhere along the way, her life became shattered and tattered and torn. And she found a way, after the shattering, the tearing, the disassembling of her life, a way to make money, to buy the drugs, to continue to stay and live a life of addiction. But then calamity. Calamity. Folks, Steve Quill and I were talking the other night, and you know I'm telling the truth. We still are not seeing repentance. And I have concluded in my heart, God is going to bless us through this administration. How long the blessing will last, I do not know. It is parenthetical. I'm confident of that. It is parenthetical. It will only last for a while. But God will be able to say, I blessed you once more. I allowed, listen, all you preachers out there who are raking in millions of dollars. By the way, thank you for those of you who stepped up to the plate. We got five or six more people who sent an offering in the month of June when I said something the other day about people listening and never supporting, never giving anything. One lady said it hurt my feelings. David said, I will not render unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. You know, I have a person, I don't know if it's for arrogancy or what, and if they're that poor, God bless them, sends $1 a month. $1. $12 a year. I don't know if that's to pay for the newsletter. $1. We don't have a lot of supporters. The ones we have are so faithful. I mean so faithful. If it wasn't for the faithfulness of the handful of people that stand with the voice of evangelism, we wouldn't be here. When I hired Stephen and Jasmine to come to work for the voice of evangelism, I asked the question. I said, just common sense. This is no revelation from God, but common sense tells me you don't make the kind of money that you tithe on. Because they were my largest supporters last year. A couple, a man and his wife. My largest supporters. And they said, well, Pastor, one day we heard you preaching about how you pay 20% tithes. We decided to start paying 20% tithes. That's why I hired them. That's faithful. That's above and beyond. But that's because they have a love for God. Some of you, tithing is nothing more than a tip. You're so well off. It's just a tip. You have plenty of money, plenty of money. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you in the casket, or if you are cremated, it doesn't go with you. And as I said a few weeks ago, there are those who listen and they download these programs every week. We never hear from them. And yes, I have taken on a grave responsibility, a man, his wife, and his child. I've got to now house them, clothe them, and feed them. Do I begrudge that? Absolutely not. They are so deserving. Why? When I encounter people who tithe 20%, you got to know their heart is right with God. I'm not preaching that they're perfect. I'm talking about a heart that's pure, undefiled, hands that are clean, trying to do the right thing. But I'm believing that they're going to help me to bring the voice of evangelism into another level. Because Jesus said the fields are white and they are ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. I'm trying to gather in laborers to help me, like a combine, go out here and reap more than I can do individually. And we are a very small ministry, and we're not running around the world, buying plane tickets every week to go somewhere on your expense. We're trying to grow the ministry for the reaching of the lost. I want to reach lost people. I'm not interested in what's going on around the world. I'm interested in touching the hearts and lives of people around the world. I want to see people saved. I want to see people brought into the kingdom of God. There's hardly a week that goes by that we do not get letters where somebody's given up their alcohol, their cigarettes, their pot, their marijuana, whatever the case might be. Whatever the case might be. This is what we do at the Voice of Evangelism. We get results. You say, that's kind of arrogant. No, I'm not being arrogant. I'm just telling you, we get results. We have people that really love the Lord, and we get results. They turn to Jesus, and they repent, and they acknowledge their sins. And God saves them. God saves them through His blood. The blood is what atones for sin. Nothing else atones. The atonement is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." It is the blood. It's the blood. Nothing else can atone for sin. "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." This is why he forbade them to eat blood. One of the reasons. But don't eat the blood, especially sacrificial blood. But the point is, in Acts 15, that's one of the things they said they only had to do, was to not eat meats that had been sacrificed to idols. But the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can make you whole. Nothing. If anybody says anything different, I think it's error. I think it's erroneous. I think it's incorrect. But the truth is, Revelation 1:5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." What did God tell John the Revelator? He said, "The blood of Jesus is what washes you from sin." God bless you. Have a great day, a great evening, whenever you're listening to this broadcast. I pray that you'll have a great week. We'll pick this back up tomorrow in verse 22. I hope and I pray this message will smite hundreds, if not thousands, of people's hearts, and they will turn to Jesus, because Jesus remains the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And the only way to get to the Father is by Jesus, the Lord Christ. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020.